You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz.
Sarcasm coming from the control room this morning and from our engineer Brian Brock, who said just before the mics went on, it's sure nice that Wayne was able to join you today.
I was going to say the same thing.
It's nice to be here.
I was going to say, this is a rare appearance.
I know. I feel
by
bad.
Co-host.
I had to bow off for the last
Majors.
Two shows because
you had a cold.
Of a variety of things. But yeah,
you had a cold one weekend.
Nice to be here.
Out of time, but out of town. But Wayne Majors, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University Chicago. Wayne, it's always great to be with you on the radio.
Yes, it is.
And busy week.
Busy week. Busy week. Lots going on at the university.
You had to do your laundry?
The cleaning lady was on vacation. It's not fun being me, really. It's okay. Tiffany, we warned you.
This is like Car Talk Radio.
That's right.
Exactly.
312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Wayne, stay on your side of the table today.
I will.
Quit crowding me. And we have a wonderful program lined up here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. With us in studio, we have Tiffany Swan Covington and Thomas Howard. Both are with Youth Ministry Coordinators. Thomas with Vicariate 4, Tiffany with Vicariate 6, and with her Catechesis and Youth Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Wayne, those are long titles.
All that fit on a business card?
I think it's time for a break.
You had to read the front and the back.
Tiffany and Thomas, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
And good morning, both of you. Smiling and ready to go. We have coming up the Bread of Life Youth Retreat, April 16th, 17th, and 18th at Guerin College Prep. And who would like to tell us what is the Bread of Life? We're going to go with the person, Tiffany, who deals
reason
with
reason or philosophy.
Yeah, we're going with reason.
Let's go with reason.
Tiffany, what is happening that weekend with the Bread of Life Retreat, which already has 400 young people, 13 years and older, already signed up. So what is happening?
Well, it's going to be a very exciting weekend. It's a weekend that we look forward to every year. This is the second year that our office has hosted and sponsored the retreat. And it is a Eucharistic-centered retreat for young people. It allows our young people to come together and to be quiet and to learn and to feast upon the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a variety of speakers, priests and lay people that come together, all voluntary, to help our young people understand their relationship with the Eucharist and how that they can grow within that to become better Christians.
Now, Thomas, you told us before the program that you are the philosopher, the philosophical point of it, so the why of it.
Well, the why of the retreat is that there's many different types of retreats out there for our youth, and this particular retreat helps build the identity, the Catholic identity of the young people in terms of how to pray the rosary, how to experience the liturgy, the hours, what is Eucharistic adoration. So the center of the retreat is the Eucharist. So normally, we try to do a lot of things with kids' culture, the sizzle, you know, provide them with different types of attachments to their culture. But this retreat really is Christocentric. So the presenters are focusing everything back to Jesus. So that's the challenge of this retreat. And the formation of our team, which has been about 8 months, to really help sensitize the presenters to make this a Christocentric retreat.
And how does that happen? You know, we're in a society where youth are barraged with a variety of communication vehicles, both how they communicate with each other, how they communicate with their family, their friends. How does all of that play into how this program shapes up and actually comes together to achieve that philosophical objective?
Well, in terms of what my partner here shared about quiet and solitude. That's something that we've impoverished our youth with. We haven't given them an opportunity to be quiet. So in many ways, the metanoia, the transformation that happens with young people is through guided reflection. So this particular retreat, I would say that the way it happens is that everybody who is attached to the retreat loves the retreat, and they'll do whatever they can to make the retreat happen. So that kind of love, Trinitarian love that the team has, is very attractive to young people. They say, how can I get some of that?
So, you know, Thomas, I got to say this. You hit on something very important. We live in a society that is incredibly noisy. There are many people who will go to bed at night with the radio on, and they wake up to it in the morning. That many people in our society are very uncomfortable with silence. You know, we are barraged, as Wayne mentioned, commercials with radio, television, iPods, the computer, technology. We live in a society that has become so noisy that what you're really saying is this is a weekend to actually begin to quiet from within and slow down. Because I'm convinced of this. The Spirit of God does not work in noise. The Spirit of God works in silence. We need to take the time to be quiet from within. And what better time than Lent now, or even during the Easter season when this Bread of Life retreat happens? But the Spirit of God cannot work in noise, but we're constantly being barraged. So what you're saying then, Thomas, is, first of all, how do you get 400 teenagers or 500 or 600
to be quiet? It starts with the riot act. The first thing that they do is they're initiated into the retreat. Father Bob Lombardo and other leaders of the retreat kind of read them the code of conduct. And the code of conduct is to be give permission to the retreat to fast from noise and say no to something good. We need noise. We need communication.
Oh, sure.
Say no to noise in order to say yes to silence and solitude. So it starts with the riot act. And then, Tiffany, what are some of the other things that we do to...
Well, we also prepare the atmosphere that they're going to praise and learn in, such that it looks like a place where you should be quiet. Of course, there's candles. We have a burning bush that we have that's smack in the center of the gym where we have the retreat. And they're also their chaperones, their leaders, our leaders as well, the different volunteers that we have all around. And the adults that are there are in a community of making this space a sacred space. And so when you're in a space like that, you kind of feel like you have to, you know, conform and listen and learn to be quiet because no one else is talking. And so after like the first couple of hours, after there's a few be quiet here, be quiet there type
That's
things.
That's normal.
Young people, they do. They understand that this is different. This is not just a gym. This is a sacred space.
A lot of young people come as part of parish youth groups or individuals or just groups of friends. How does it?
There are a lot of youth groups that come, some confirmation groups. A lot of people use this as their confirmation retreat, which you can do, or even a post-confirmation retreat. This is an excellent opportunity for young people. This is the first year in which we're really going to make an avid opportunity for other dioceses, Rockford, Joliet, to be a part of it as well. Not only to see how we do it, but for the young people from different dioceses to come and celebrate with us here in Chicago.
Talking with Tiffany Swan Covington and Thomas Howard, two youth ministry coordinators, talking about the Bread of Life Youth Retreat coming up on April 16th through the 18th at Guerin College Prep. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Wayne Madjars and Father Greg Sackwitz, and we'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Come experience what makes the Catholic Church unique, relevant, and compelling for young people today. Hundreds of Catholic teens will gather April 16th through the 18th at Guerin College Prep High School for the Bread of Life Youth Retreat. All teenagers are invited. Experience dynamic music, inspirational talks, personal testimonies, and celebrate Mass with Cardinal George. Here's what past recipients say about the Bread of Life Retreat.
I really like the retreat. They tried to help you out with God's message and guide you in life.
After this retreat, I became more open to God, my parents, and my elders.
The Bread of Life retreat gives young people permission to be alone with Jesus in the Eucharist and become better friends with our Lord.
To learn more about this unforgettable retreat and to register, call 312-534-8044 or go to breadoflifechicago.org. That's 312-534-8044. Or breadoflifechicago.org.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio.
Do you know whose voice that was in the second commercial?
Those angelic,
that was
melodic
Tiffany
tones.
Swan Covington,
yes.
So it's now the Tiffany Swan Covington radio program. So I guess Wayne, you and I get to leave then.
Well done.
Very well done, Tiffany. Beautiful air voice for that commercial.
Well, thank you, Father.
Wow.
I appreciate that
Tiffany,
very much.
Tiffany's
Why
in
are
the
you
studio.
Blushing? We're not giving you a hard time, Tiffany. We're
just
being,
888
we're
car
just being
talk.
Normal. We're just being normal this morning.
Tiffany Swan Covington is with us. So is Thomas Howard, Youth Ministry Coordinator, is talking about the Bread of Life Youth
Retreat.
Thomas,
did you do a commercial?
I was part of that commercial.
In the background?
But not Tiffany, not to the extent that Tiffany
oh,
was on.
Oh, please. Okay.
All right.
Next question, please.
The retreat is coming up on April 16th through the 18th at Guerin College Prep High School for teens 13 and over. About 400 attended last year, looking at that number plus for this year's retreat, and conversion stories, youths who have attended in the past who have really come away with a special experience, Tom.
Yeah, last night we had a team meeting, and I was sharing how I've been to four or five youth events in the last 2 weeks or so, and it seems like every time I go to one, there's a young person who stands up and gives a spontaneous testimony of how the Bread of Life has transformed their life. And when they stand up, they talk about how and what a privilege it was to receive permission to be silent, and what that meant for them. And when the young people talk, they talk about what's happening on the outside and how the retreat gives them a chance to develop their inner life. So the spontaneous testimonies are just coming out in a very surprising ways to hear young people change their perspective on their faith life, giving them a stronger Catholic identity.
And when you hear that, you know that it worked. I mean, you got to them. It was a very special kind of experience for them that it was life-changing.
And that's contagious. I mean, you'd mm-hmm. be surprised yeah. at the number. Once their best friend stands up and says something, gives a testimony at the retreat, you're looking at this person in a whole different light. Like, I didn't know you felt that way. It's contagious. It rolls on to the next person.
You know, I'll say this. I've done many retreats in the years on different levels. When you're giving a retreat, all the work that you do to go into it, but always, please, we have to leave room for the Spirit, that it's really the Lord who is present and in charge and not us. And we have these great conversion stories that come from the heart. So really, the Bread of Life retreat is really you're providing an opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord to touch individuals. It's going to touch us all in different ways. And as I mentioned earlier, we live in such a crazy, fast-paced society that, you know, for a teenager, that's a tough time of life. I mean, all of life is difficult, and we have tough moments and tough decisions. But for a young person, there's so many, as Wynn mentioned, so many bombarding things hitting you from all different angles. And it's phenomenal that when you get these conversion moments or these conversion stories, it has to touch your heart. It does.
The young people that you talk about the conversion, they say, well, it was more me getting to the retreat, the youth minister or the volunteer adult who encouraged me to go. They're the stretcher bearers. They're like in Mark's gospel where they have to cut the hole out of the roof in order to bring down the paralytic to Jesus. And Jesus asked the paralytic, would it be easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So those are the ones, the champions of this retreat, the young adults from Our Lady of Mount Carmel, from St. Simeon, the ones who are encouraging right now the young people to go. So those you radio listeners right now have to realize that the young people are not going to go this retreat unless you invite them to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, how did this all start, the concept of a Better Life Retreat?
Well, it started with an invitation from Pope John Paul II back in 1990 in the World Youth Day in Santiago, Spain. And he invited all of the young people there to become evangelizers of the faith. And so 10 years later, after there were various efforts that happened all around the world, in World Youth Day 2000 in Rome, he sent them out on a mission, and he asked them to make the Eucharist the center of their life. And from that, that's how this retreat started. And it is a worldwide retreat. It is a model retreat that everyone follows the same process, same three-day process for evangelizing to young people and converting them to understand better why they're here on this earth, what God has in store for them.
And what happens after a young person attends one of these retreats? What happens as far as follow-up and after it's over?
Well, the greatest thing that happens is we have more vocations. Mm. And we've seen the fruit of vocations to the religious life and to the priesthood.
This weekend.
Absolutely. It's generating an interest in vocations, because the young people will be accompanying in this retreat by many religious and many priests who really love their vocation, who have a commitment to the Eucharist. And it's inspiring to see the young people see role models in front of them who have really embraced their faith.
Now, the Archdiocese of Chicago has done this Bread of Life retreat how many times now?
This will be the second year.
So but last
prior
year.
To this, yes, last year was the first year. This will be the second year. Prior to that, the retreat had been facilitated by volunteers, a huge mass of volunteers from St. Ben's on St. Ben's School.
Over on Irving Park
specifically,
there?
Yes, on Irving Park.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just that in terms of like when Wayne talks about the follow-up. Now, if somebody were interested in going to this retreat, give us a phone number and a web, Tiffany.
Okay, you can contact, learn more information, get registration materials at www.breadoflifechicago.org.
One more time.
Breadoflifechicago.org. And you can also call to our office, 312-534-8031.
That number once again.
312-534-8031.
And maybe just in the last minute, Thomas and Tiffany, why are you in this ministry? I mean, working with young people is exciting. It's very challenging. Why has the Lord, or why have you responded to the invitation of the Lord to work with young people? Well, just out of curiosity. Thomas.
Well, for myself, I'm a married man. We have three children. And the love that I have for the Eucharist comes from having access to the sacraments. So my friendship with priests as a lay person will create interest in vocation. So I love youth ministry because it helps young people get access to the sacraments.
How about you, Tiffany?
For me, I grew up in youth ministry, and when I came back to my parish as an adult, it was not there. And that's what sparked me to become a youth minister, because youth ministry in my life made such a big difference into how I see my life, view myself as a person and other people, and my relationship with Christ. And I just don't want other young people to miss out on that.
The website for additional information and registration is www.breadoflifechicago.org. The telephone number 312-534-8031. Tiffany Swan Covington, Thomas Howard, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Retreat.
God bless you both.
Keep up the great work.
You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:19 in the morning. We'll be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Make March your month to give back. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 7th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of March at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have a social committee fundraiser on Tuesday, March 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. at 10 Pin Bowling Lounge in Chicago. For $35, you can bowl for 3 hours, enjoy a buffet, 2 drink tickets, and a chance to mix and mingle with junior board members and friends. Don't miss this fun and exciting opportunity to give back to Catholic Charities. 100% of the proceeds go directly to help our clients. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Join our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Men, God is calling each of us to greater things. Join Cardinal Francis George, Patrick Madrid, Curtis Martin, and other nationally renowned Catholic speakers and find out how the Holy Spirit can make a difference in your life. Learn how to be a God-fearing man, a God-loving man, a better husband, and a better father at the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference, Saturday, March 20th at the Donald Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Saturday, March 20th, the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference. For details, visit goingforth.org. That's goingforth.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is exactly 9:22 on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. The last few days have been spectacular. Wednesday was 62, yesterday mid-50s, and today I think again about the 50s. So it's still officially winter, one more week before spring. But please, tomorrow evening, before you go to bed, turn the clock.
Oh, is it that time already?
Yeah, tomorrow night. Wow. So fast forward 1 hour. Tomorrow evening, otherwise you'll be missing your Sunday Mass time schedule by 1 hour. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. Yes, Wayne?
And if you do, just send in the envelope.
Just be happy.
Okay.
The Chicago Catholic Men's Conference takes place on Saturday, March 20th, a week from tomorrow, at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Our guest by phone is Hector Molina, Master of Ceremonies for the conference. Hector is a much sought-after bilingual lay Catholic speaker and evangelist who for nearly 25 years has ministered the teachings of the Catholic faith throughout the United States, Canada, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Hector Molina, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, where are we calling you right now from?
Oh, I'm in St. Louis, on my way actually to the airport. I'm flying out to preach a retreat in Houston this weekend.
Well, that is marvelous. Well, maybe, Hector, give our listeners an idea. What is the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference all about, and who should attend and why?
Well, it's an annual gathering of Catholic men throughout the Chicago Archdiocesan area, and it's a... Really, it's a summit, a spiritual summit for men to deepen their faith, to reflect on their vocation as men, as husbands, and as fathers. And it's an opportunity for men to be uplifted and to be encouraged by other role models and exemplars who are going to really lay out a wonderful body of teaching from Holy Mother Church and with a real eye to exhorting men to live lives of true integrity and of courage. And hopefully we'll be able to motivate men to head back to their homes and to the marketplace with a renewed vigor for sharing the faith and living out their vocation.
Now, Hector, for men in the audience this morning who are hearing you describe it and who may have heard about it before, and may be thinking, I'm not sure if this is the right event for me. I have a strong faith tradition. I'm a good Catholic in my own sense of my religion.
You use envelopes.
I have a faithful Catholic family. But so how do I know if this is the kind of event that is right for me, that I'm going to be able to actually get something out of and leave with a better perspective of what it means to be a Catholic man?
Well, what I would point out is that, unfortunately, for quite some time, there's been a real lack of organized gatherings and programs specifically geared towards Catholic men and male spirituality. And so I think for any man out there that's kind of wondering whether or not this is a program for him, I would guarantee you that anyone who comes out that day is going to be edified and truly grateful for having participated. There really is a need in our society, just given the problems that we're facing, to really focus on the whole call to manhood and what it means to be a man, what it means to be a godly man. And I think the day really is focused on deepening men's awareness of their calling in life.
It's interesting now, Hector.
And the roles that they need to fulfill in society. So I would think for any man out there, I think every one of us could benefit from a day where we would be gathering with other Catholic men who are fighting the same fight and who are facing the same struggles and who desire to truly live godly lives. So I'd say this really is for every man.
The thing is, I'm looking at the press release here. Here's some interesting question that says, why should you attend? Which means any man. Am I a man who is searching for something? Am I a Catholic who has fallen away from the church and wants to know more about why he should come back? Am I a man who works 60 to 80 hours per week with a wife and children at home trying to support them and does not have time for God? Am I someone who appears to have everything but feels like he has nothing, that something is missing in my life? Am I a man who is just searching for meaning in life, for truth or purpose? Am I a man who is struggling with addictions and doesn't know how to get out? Hector, those are some powerful questions that I'm assuming will be addressed on March 20th.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Those are great questions.
There's also the other question that we men tend to be lone rangers, and we tend to go it alone. And that really applies also to the spiritual life. We tend to be loners. And it's really important for men and for all people to understand that in the spiritual life, we cannot afford to be lone rangers. We really need to be supported by others. And this conference is really a magnificent opportunity for men to have the message reinforced to them that they're not alone, that there are other men out there who really care about the faith, who love the Lord, and who are struggling with the same issues, but are looking for hope. And so I think one of the wonderful blessings of the experience, and I was privileged to be part of the first event a couple of years ago, is the wonderful camaraderie, the wonderful fellowship, the friendships that are forged there that really help people to go deeper. You know, the scriptures tell us in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, that as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And there's real truth to that. And if anyone has journeyed long enough in the spiritual life, one has to testify to the fact that we need mentors and we need people who can hold us accountable. And this is just a wonderful way for people to kind of see that in action.
Hector, to what extent is a lot of the material and the speakers' topics that are going to be talked about at this really tied back to the, you know, for lack of a better description, the macho image of men in society? They shouldn't be perceived as vulnerable. They should be strong. They should not show their inner feelings. They should not show their emotions. And part of that really extends to how they live their faith life, doesn't it?
No. Well, absolutely. I mean, and I don't want to give the wrong impression to any of the men that are listening. It's not going to be a hand-holding session with Kleenex boxes around. But nevertheless, we're going to deal with real issues that affect real men, and we're really hopeful that we'll get a good turnout And then we'll be willing to be challenged.
Hector, we're going to go to a break here. Stay with us. You're listening to a Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors, and our guest is Hector Molina. Time is 9:29. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Marches Have a Heart, Help Your Neighbor Month at Catholic Charities. On March 5th from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., Catholic Charities employees and volunteers will kick off this momentous month of giving by collecting non-perishable food items at NBC Plaza. There's never been a time when your generosity was needed more. This March, consider donating to Catholic Charities. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/neighbor or call 312-655-7525.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Ashes on the forehead mark another Lenten season. We'll talk with Cardinal George about what Catholics can do to strengthen their faith during this holy time of year. And the director of the Office for Hispanic Catholics, Father Claudio Diaz, will share his insights on the significance of Lent.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. Time in Chicago is 9:32 on this Friday morning. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408, and we're talking with Hector Molina, the Master of Ceremonies for the conference, for the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference, taking place on Saturday, March 20th.
Hector, you've got a long history in evangelization, going back to when you were 15 years old. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you really came to do what you're doing today.
Well, the Lord got me at an early age, as you point out. I was invited to a youth retreat back when I was about 15 years old, and it really was the springboard, the spiritual awakening that would launch me into really my career in ministry. It was a very powerful awakening that really changed my life, and I was convinced that the Lord, He loved me, He redeemed me, and that He had a real calling on my life, as He does for all of us. And I spent the first few years after that retreat really discerning my particular vocation, and I really felt that the Lord was calling me to active evangelization and to working with the church. And I did so for several years as a youth minister. And then doors opened up for me, and I began working professionally for the church. Served for 11 years in an inner-city parish in Brooklyn, New York, my home diocese, before relocating to the Archdiocese of St. Louis. I served there for a number of years as well as Director of Hispanic Ministry and then as Director of the Office of the New Evangelization. And so, I can really attest to how powerful these types of retreats and conferences can be. I'm very blessed to have the opportunity to travel throughout the world speaking at these types of men's conferences, and I've just seen how the Holy Spirit has really touched and transformed the hearts of men. I think that the Holy Spirit, the Lord, is doing a new thing. When you see what's happening throughout the entire country, the number of men's conferences that are cropping up, I think it's a real symbol and I think manifestation of the springtime of evangelization.
Hector, we need to bring this segment to a close. I do want to get a phone number here. Anyone interested in going to the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference, the phone number would be 312-534-5299, 312-534-5299 for the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference to be held on Saturday, March 20th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. And a special thank you to Hector Molina, the Master of Ceremonies for the conference on Saturday, March 20th. Hector, thank you for joining us. Keep up your phenomenal ministry in the Spirit of the Lord, and we'll see you in Chicago a week from Saturday.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And also, we are going to hit a little bit of music here, right, Brian? What does that music mean, Wayne?
Only one thing.
It means Joyce DiRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, joins us here on Catholic Community of Faith. Let that music keep going there, Hitman. Okay, Joyce, welcome to the program this morning. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well, Father.
What is happening in the newest and latest edition of the Catholic New World coming out of the newsstand shortly?
Really excited. We've got the centers. Well, there's four pages on the cause for canonization for Father Tolton that the Archdiocese just announced. And he's got a wonderful story, as I'm sure you are already aware. And the story of just struggle and faith and virtue. And he was the first black priest for the United States. And he, all kinds of struggles. He was born into slavery. His parents escaped slavery. His mom, valiant as she was, she took the kids. It was just her and three kids, and snuck out at night and crossed the Mississippi and ended up in Quincy, Illinois, and started a new life for her family there. And Father Tolton felt he was called to priesthood, and no one would ordain him in the U.S., so Rome ordained him. And then he came back to be a missionary to the United States and faced all kinds of anti-Catholicism and racism. And back in Quincy, Illinois, where he was assigned and was originally raised, and then he ended up in Chicago. He was invited to Chicago by the Archbishop to minister to the black Catholics here, and he died here. But he has a great story that we're putting up for canonization. So we have a lot of information about his life.
And Joyce, it's Bishop Perry who is actually heading up the canonization process here in the Archdiocese, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. We also...
We interviewed Bishop Perry. We talked to... He was telling us a little bit about the process. And I mean, it's a long process, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
So this is just the beginning.
We're approaching the halfway point of Lent. Tell us what we may see in the New World between now and the Easter Triduum.
We've got a fun piece in this issue about laughing at Lucifer during Lent that Lucifer doesn't like to be mocked, and that there's, but you still take him seriously, but there's this idea that, you know, you don't give him more credit than it's due. And then next issue we're going to have, we do converts every year for the last 2 years leading up to the Easter Vigil and Triduum, a time when we get a lot of converts coming into the church. And it's always interesting to hear their stories and moving their story, because a lot of us who are cradle Catholics, as you know, sort of take this stuff for granted, and to hear why people are coming and why they're finding solace in the Catholic Church and through Jesus is always powerful. And then Cardinal George, in this issue, which is noteworthy, has his column on the visitation of women religious by the Holy See. So there's been a lot of confusion about that, a lot of maybe hurt feelings. So Cardinal talks about that, so I'd encourage people to check that out.
Well, Joyce seems like having a tremendous issue. I'm very interested in learning more about Father Augustus Tolton. He was born in 1854, and what a tremendous story. And Joyce, you're doing a great job with the Catholic New World. And if anybody wants to subscribe, give us a phone number or web.
312-534-7577.
And a web?
Where there's, sure, catholicnewworld.com. And then you can also, if you have a Twitter feed, you can also find us on Twitter.
Okay, and Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, thank you for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majars. Time is 9:39 on this beautiful Friday morning.
And during this break, we're going to explain to Father Greg what Twitter is.
I don't have a clue.
I
don't have a clue. So stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majars, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University. Wayne, stay on your side of the table. I have to tell you once again. And time is 9:42 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. They're talking rain for the weekend and one more week before we officially begin the season of spring. And joining us by phone, we have David Rangeli, director of The Calling, an award-winning documentary, who joins us by phone, and he'll be in town on Monday, March 22nd, for the screening of the documentary at Dominican University. And I just want to say something before we even get with David. In his documentary, The Calling, independent filmmaker David Rangeli has carefully, thoroughly, and with great authenticity portrayed the call to religious life to a particular community, capturing the human emotions that interplay in the decision each individual makes. Wow. David, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Father Greg, Wayne, thank you for having me.
This is wonderful. And how did you come about with this whole idea as the director of The Calling with this award-winning documentary? Give us a little history of it.
Well, I think it all stems from the fact that I am Catholic, and the faith is a very important aspect of my life. And being in the film world, I wanted to take on a subject that was very near and dear to my heart because, you know, when you're out there in the independent film world and you're trying to get something done, you know, it's a very difficult process. You know, you have to fundraise, you have to pull all these elements together, and it's all too easy to, if things aren't working the way you want them to, walk away from a project. And I didn't want to invest my time or energies into something like that. I wanted it to be something that was very near and dear to my heart and that I felt passionate about and that I had a very sincere curiosity about. And as I said, growing up in the faith, I've always been surrounded by priests and nuns who have either been teachers or mentors to me in various ways, and I've always questioned what was it that drew them to this life and what were the exterior and interior dynamics that played within them as they made that transition from, you know, for lack of a better term, secular life into spiritual life. And that was sort of the nucleus, the genesis of this project.
And the real richness of the documentary is the fact that it's not only a following of the kind of the traditional way that one moves from the secular to the religious, but there's some pretty non-traditional stories. You mentioned, for example, Mother Mary Elizabeth, yes, the superior of a community who was actually married and the mother of two adult daughters before she entered the order.
Exactly. I mean, and she adds a definite level of complexity to the story that, I mean, without a doubt, I mean, her path into religious life is not typical, for lack of a better term. You know, the question I always seem to have is, well, what is typical when one is embracing Christ? I mean, I think everyone has their own sort of personal path that they take when this grace is placed in their heart. But definitely Mother's storyline is outside of the norm, if you will, where Orlando Castillo is more of what people would consider the traditional path into vocation. You know, he's a young man, 21, 22 years old, and he enters, you know, this religious community and is trying to embrace this grace in his heart more firmly. But, you know, Mother's story, I think, also, she touches on something which I think is very much a dynamic in the church right now, where you have a lot of older people who may be widowed or maybe already have children or have had prior lives who are entering Catholic religious life later in life. And, you know, her story really allowed, I think, a lot of questions and a lot of issues which maybe aren't normally seen or discussed in a vocation film to come to the come to the surface.
And what it really and one of the reviews that you received on the documentary called it a poetic spiritual meditation. And I was struck by that phrase because in some way that really ties back to what you just described, and that is the plethora of challenges and struggles that are evident in the stories that you tell as part of this documentary. They're all very distinct, yet at the end of the day, they get an individual to the same place.
Exactly, and that quote that you just mentioned actually comes from a two-time Academy Award winner, Barbara Koppel, who, you know, I personally was thrilled when she said yes, you know, she would look at my film, but then when she had such wonderful things to say about it, it was an incredible validation for me. You know, because, you know, she's not a woman who has any direct connection to Catholicism or any organized faith, as far as I know, but you know, she is someone who has made films that many documentarians like myself look at as seminal works, and to have someone like that make that sort of comment about my film, obviously personally as a filmmaker, was very validating. But I also said I think it says something very deeper and profound about what this story is and how it can transcend a narrow sort of audience of just, say, Catholic or Christians or people who are into religion, because I allow my characters and I allow this film the room to breathe, to get into some very universal topics and themes.
And David, how did you find the stories? I mean, where do you start in trying to paint the picture that you do in this documentary?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because when you make a documentary like this, and this documentary is very, you know, the term is sort of cinema verite, which means you really allow the characters to be the ones to convey the story. You know, there's no sort of outside interviews or no authority figure on camera who is telling the audience this is what's going on. I really allow the individuals and the characters to be the ones to convey their stories to the audience. So to make a film like that, it's really based on trust. You have to get into these people's hearts. You have to spend time with them, and they have to, you know, look at you and say, okay, this man is going to be around us with a camera and a microphone capturing some of our most, you know, intimate, sincere moments. You know, do we want that? So how I came about discovering the Family of Jesus Healer and Father Philip Scott in this particular religious community is my co-producer, Trey Bravant. His sister is a member of this community.
Okay, so we're going to break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Magyar. His time is exactly 9:49 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago, and our guest is David Rangeli, the director of The Calling. Our phone number, speaking of calling, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Are you ready to get more involved in the pro-life cause? If so, join us on Saturday, March 27th at St. Lambert Parish in Skokie for Charity in Truth. This annual Respect Life Coordinators Conference will focus on the importance of pro-life issues as we seek social justice for all our brothers and sisters, especially those who can't defend themselves. Cardinal George will reflect on Pope Benedict's latest encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, or Charity in Truth, viewing it through the lens of the Gospel of Life. Come hear David B. Wright, founder of the National 40 Days for Life movement. Rita Marker, expert on euthanasia and assisted suicide, will share some disturbing end-of-life trends. To register, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. Again, 312-534-5355. All are welcome at St. Lambert in Skokie on Saturday, March 27th. Don't miss the opportunity.
The Catholic Church is urging people in neighborhoods across the United States to participate in the 2010 census. Hello, I'm Bishop Joseph Perry, and I'd like to encourage everyone listening to be counted as part of the census. Your participation is vital. The census helps determine political representation and the level of funding for schools, hospitals, parks, and other services where you live. Hundreds of billions of dollars are at stake. Fill out the census forms when you get them in the mail. Do not be afraid of being counted. By law, names and addresses remain confidential, and only numbers are published. You have nothing to lose, but much to gain when you fill out the census forms. Please participate, and may God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Time is coming up on 9:52. On this Friday morning in Chicago, today's high about 55 degrees and more rain expected this weekend. And our phone number, 312-255-8408. And our guest is David Ringali, the director of The Calling, an award-winning documentary, who joins us by phone. David, you were talking earlier about The Call. Yep. And I vividly remember when I was in high school, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, I was at Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles. I had one goal in life. And that was to be a radio and television sportscaster. Having played sports...
Thank God didn't happen.
I'd like to meet Wayne Madras by
sidekick. We would really
sidekick.
Have an industry on the tailspin.
I wanted to be a sportscaster. And then senior year, I turned down a scholarship to Northwestern University and talked to a few priests in Notre Dame High School. And next thing I was entering the seminary. I so firmly believe in the call because I remember saying to Father Lavely at Notre Dame, why doesn't God call somebody else? I'd rather be married, have a family, and be a sportscaster. And the Lord had different plans. So I'm sure in the stories you have dealt with, and the call is so unique to every individual. Say something about that.
Definitely. I mean, first of all, I just want to say it's a good thing you didn't become a sportscaster in Chicago because with the history of the Cubs, you know, you wouldn't have had much to talk about there. But
that's great. I'm a White Sox fan, so that's great.
Yankee fan, admittedly. So.
Oh, you're a Yankee fan, Brian. So. Let's cut this interview off. David's a Yankee fan. I'm a diehard White Sox fan. No, you're interesting about the uniqueness of the call.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's funny you should say that. You know, when you felt the call, there was this almost knee-jerk reaction of, why is it me? Why can't it be someone else? And, you know, almost every one of the characters who I deal with in the film, and even some of those who aren't on screen as much as my three main characters, which are Father Philip Scott, Orlando Castillo, and Mother Mary Elizabeth, you know, I obviously spent a lot of time with these individuals. And when I was down there in Peru with them or wherever, you know, I lived with them. I slept on the floor the way they did. Whenever they ate or met for prayer, I was with them. You know, I spent a lot of very close, intimate time with them, and I would speak with them on camera and off about their personal journeys because, again, my curiosity, I just wanted to know. And, you know, to an individual, they all sort of felt, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, I wanted to be an accountant. You know, in Padre's case, he wanted to be a pilot. You know, Orlando was studying to be a doctor. You know, I'm sure Mother never conceived of the idea of becoming, you know, a Mother Superior of a newly forming religious community in one of the poorest areas of Peru when she was, you know, being a mother to her children. So it is something that, you know, kind of comes out of nowhere, but it really grabs hold of an individual. And the way that it was described to me was very much like a sort of a seed being planted when the moment happens. And there may be an initial uneasiness, there may be an initial questioning of why is this occurring, but that seed begins to take root and things begin to sprout from that. And before you know it, it's just the totality of who you are, and you are totally driven to try and, you know, immerse yourself in that call as much as possible.
David, the screening of your documentary is coming up as part of the 26th Chicago Latino Film Festival.
Yeah, we're very happy Chicago. About that, by the way.
And how does your documentary fit with the festival itself?
Well, I think it definitely fits in with the festival because, you know, my main character is a Latino, Orlando Castillo. The founder of the community is a native Peruvian. The majority of the film takes place in Peru. So there's a lot of dynamics and elements that take place in the film that, you know, Latinos, and especially Latino Catholics, I think it will definitely resonate with them. I mean, we recently received a wonderful endorsement from Father Virgilio Elizondo, who I'm sure you're all pretty familiar with. He's a professor of pastoral history and Hispanic theology at the University of Notre Dame. You know, and he had very wonderful things to say about the film, and I shared it with him for that reason. I wanted to get his input on how the film captures or displays this particular Latino Catholic experience. And you know, and then connected to him too, you know, a wonderful Jesuit who, Wayne, I'm sure you probably know, Father Alan Figueroa Deck,
mm-hmm.
You know, looked at the film, had wonderful things to say about it, and even offered and did write the introduction to our study guide, which I was very honored that he thought so highly of the film that he wanted to contribute on some level in helping the film be more than just a film, but also a valuable media literacy tool that can, you know, educate people about, you know, the dynamics and the themes that the film addresses.
David, we've got a minute and a half left, but in that minute, what was the biggest revelation or surprise in putting this documentary together that you learned or maybe were really your eyes were opened up to in actually putting this together?
Well, first, I can get it done.
Yeah, that's going to be a miracle, yeah.
It took me 6 years to do this.
Wow.
But beyond that, the broad acceptance of the film. You know, when you're making a film about people in rosary beads and robes and use words like Jesus, it's real hard sometimes, especially in my film world, to get people to understand and appreciate it. But I've had people who aren't necessarily in the religious realm of things look at this film and say, you know, you showed me a side of life, you showed me characters, you showed me things that normally I would never want to see or be interested in, but you drew me in and you helped me to connect with them on a human level. And you know, if the film can do that, you know, if I can get an endorsement from an Academy Award winner and also from Archbishops, you know, usually those two realms are on opposite side of the spectrum. But
that is really an accomplishment. Dave, in the last minute, give us a website or phone number. People
yeah.
can learn about the event happening on March 22nd, a Monday, at Dominican University.
Yeah, to learn more about the film, you could visit our website, which is www.thecallingdocumentary, and that's all one word.
Do that once again. www. Go ahead. One more time.
www.thecallingdocumentary.com. Click on screenings, and you can find out where the film is going to be.
Okay, I want to thank in a very special way David Ringali, the director of The Calling, an award-winning documentary which will take place on Monday, March 22nd. David, thank you for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith. Keep up the great work, and our prayers are with you. Special thanks to co-host Wayne Magyar, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University. Wayne, it's always great to have you on the program
it's
together.
Always fun. See you next week.
See you next week. And thank you very much to our outstanding director or producer, Jim Dish,
and
great
our
engineer.
Adequate engineer, Brian Brock.
Hitman Hockey Brock. To our listeners, God bless and have a wonderful weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.